Well, I'll read from Judges, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Judges, chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said to him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is it all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And how not I sent thee? We'll leave it there. Now then, The text that we have in Hebrews is verse 32. And what shall I say more say? For the time words fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. We've got quite a long list there. And indeed, if we went to the prophets, we would be going for a very long list indeed. Now, we're looking at this gallery of faith. It is an amazing one. Men and women of faith. Now, if I may read this to you. The six mentioned by name are major representatives of the period of the judges under the early monarchy. To these are added, as a group, the prophets. All these together span the biblical history of Israel. It is worth noting that the judges are not mentioned in order of time, but in order of importance. For Gideon, Judges 6 to 8. For Barak, Judges 4 to 5. For Samson, Judges 13 to 14. For Jephthah, Judges 11 to 12. The space devoted to the story of Samuel and David in the Old Testament is a measure of their greater significance in Israel's history. Samuel is a link with the monarchy. And David was an outstanding king. And we also have the prophets. Now, we begin then with the character of Gideon. Now, it's a strange story. A story when I was early in my ministry used to alarm me. And I wasn't very keen on preaching on it because there was something very frightening about it. And you can see why. I'll tell you later. Now, Gideon is a man that we admire greatly, but on his first encounter is not a very impressive one. It's not impressive at all. But it shows really an example of faith, where this man is brought from fear to faith. That's what we have here. He's brought from fear to faith. Now then, just to look at some of the verses I read. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So they are punished for the disobedience of God. You'll find that they worshipped Baal, all sorts of things that they did, and they had grieved God very much. And so they are punished. And not only do the Midianites come along, but also the surrounding enemies as well. And the Israelites themselves had to dwell in dens and caves in hiding. That was their lot. It seems indeed as if it was the end of the people of God. Midian had prevailed, and they dwelt in caves. Verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. It's a terrible thing they did. So thou came into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. The description is they came as grasshoppers. They entered in the land to destroy it. Makes you think of our land today as well. If we can call all the things that are arrayed against the gospel, you could call them Midianites in a way, couldn't you? Because they have almost destroyed every semblance of the what was once a Christian country, not only in Wales, but the whole of these islands. And you wonder, well, how on earth has this happened? For example, when I go preaching now, I recognise that there are, say, 3 or 4 churches with more than 100 in attendance, or patron one in London, which is much bigger. But mostly they are 20 and 30 and 40 and some 70 or 80. And when you think of the population of 60 million, then that is rather frightening. So the Midianites have done a pretty thorough work outside the churches and within the churches as well. So we have our modern Midianites. Now, the life of the people today in the state of the churches, nothing seems sacred. And all we can say, an enemy hath done this. And even the Lord's people themselves, like the people here, even they have become careless, even the Lord's people. That is, the fear of the Lord seems to have gone. We do not fear God. We should honour his person, honour his name, honour his day, honour all that he desires us to do. We're answerable to him. In verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, at last, they cried unto the Lord. Now, what has been happening in some forms of evangelicalism is not crying unto the Lord, but planning what can we do and trying various methods. But at last, maybe, we will all come to that place where we cry unto the Lord. The biggest thing that's missing today is faith in God. Truly faith in God in our personal lives, as churches, and also as collective churches as well, is to restore faith in God. You know, this is the vital thing. Now then, let me read this again to you. In verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them all from before you, and gave them their land. And I said unto them, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the main thing. We should learn a great deal, you know, about how disobedient the church was in the Old Testament so often. You have not obeyed my voice. Book of Judges sometimes described, and every man did according to his own ideas, his own thoughts. I think this way, I think that way. It's chaos. But he recounts God's mercy, so he reminds them. You see, first the thing he does is he reminds them of past mercies. Yet they had disobeyed God, even knowing all their history. Now, Gideon is approached, And we see now the dealings of God with Gideon. What can you do with a man that is full of fear? The whole of the people were fearful. How could they be restored? How could any blessing be again? How could they possess the land, grow their crops, have their animals? How could that ever be again? And let's start with the fear of Gideon. I only have to touch on these because such involved a long account, so I can't do that. Now, the angel of the Lord visits Gideon. And there came an angel of the Lord. And remember, the angel of the Lord in Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnation appearance. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizarite. And his sons, Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So they were having a little crop, this family, but they had to hide it, or that would be destroyed as well. In fact, it seemed as if there was hardly any hiding place. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. And look what he calls him, thou mighty man of valor. Now, when I go on, you won't think he's such a mighty man of valor. But he calls him that because he knows what he can do with Gideon. Gideon doesn't know that yet. Thou mighty man of valor. But he argues in his unbelief and fear. Do you remember in the New Testament, that man that had a son who was so poorly, and he came to Jesus Christ, the disciples had failed to help him. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, sometimes I can describe us. Lord, I do believe, but our areas of doubt, help thou mine unbelief. I will trust you with my soul, but I'll not trust you with my life. I'll trust you with eternity in heaven, but I will not trust you with my circumstances. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, Gideon is a typical example of this. So, first of all, we are dealing with this fear. This is something we know, all of us know about, fear. Fear is a crippling thing. You cease to think when you have fear. It just takes over. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my God, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? He's reasoning with him. Why is this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which have fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And it looks like that, doesn't it? Now hath the Lord forsaken us. And it looks in the church, in the century that we live in too, that even in the churches that are faithful, there seems to be grumblings and murmurings, and I don't know what altogether. Something and nothing, you know. And that's the situation. Oh, here, this man is grumbling to God. He said, well, they say you brought us out of Egypt. That's true. But you've forsaken us now. You don't help us anymore. It's a sad complaint. It's incredible. Our Lord is there, and He shows such uncertainty. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now that's very wonderful. Wouldn't you be thrilled at that? Go in thy might, the Lord is with thee. And have not I sent thee? It's a divine commission. In a sense, he had no reason to doubt. But put his background in. A people that are impoverished, a people that have been God-forsaken for a long time, a people as if all the Midianites and all the rest of them were going to prevail against them. So you can understand where he said, well, it's very good of you, God, but I don't see how it can be. I don't see how we can be rescued at all. And in verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You know, I'm not even the eldest, I'm the least. Yet the Lord still encourages him. despite his excuses, the patience of God here is remarkable. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You'll do it, and I will be with you. And you think that would be enough. In verse 17, the uncertainty remains. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I want to know it's really you. He's full of doubts. Not a nice thing to ask for, really, a sign. Not very spiritual, but he asked for a sign to make sure that it is God who said to be with him. And you can see this man is full of fear. And he's told to put some cakes and meat on the altar. And the angel Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened bread cakes and lay them upon this rock, and from out of the broth, and from out the broth. And he did so. And the angel Lord touched it, and fire consumed it. Now that should have been enough. It wasn't. The result on Gideon is still fear again. Verse 22. And then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said unto him, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now he thought he would be destroyed. He had to be reassured. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, for thou shalt not die. And he built an altar there, an Ophrah. He built an altar to God. Now then, the next point we're going to see, still in these fearful days, but faith beginning to develop here. The faith of Gideon. You could describe at the beginning as a trembling faith, as a kind of fearful faith to begin with. But God has met with him and confronted him. And it would be an awesome thing for him to disobey. So he tells him to put a bullock, to throw down the altar of Baal. In that family there's an altar to Baal. You wouldn't think, would you? In that family there's an altar to Baal. He says, take that down and build an altar unto God. Then when that happened, now there was trouble. Later on anyway. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So you can see how, you know, how on earth could this man be a man of valor? However could he be? Now then, what else do we learn here? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then there's still hesitation in verses 36 and 37. And Gideon said unto the God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be upon the place, and only it, and it be dry upon all the earth besides it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, there be dew around it. That happened. And Gideon was rather ashamed in a way, but he went on in verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, in this way, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. So it's the other way around. And God did this, and he did it for him, the patience of God here. Now then, you might wonder, what can you do with a man like this? Whatever can you do with him? Now the great test of faith, the task is to restore the kingdom of God on earth. He faced the Midianites. Now they were very angry at what had been done, and they gathered in the valley in vast numbers. Now, therefore, in verse 3, chapter 7, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return. He had an army, by the way, of 32,000. This is a part of his total army. He had an army of 32,000, so lots of people. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the mount. 22,000 left. Not very encouraging, then. I used to dislike that. I didn't like to think of things going down. But out of the 32,000, 20,000 left. 22,000, leaving 10,000 there. God said, there's still too many. Now then, in verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. So some bowed down, and some lapped the water, and so on. Some were kind of on guard as they lapped the water. And there were 300 of them. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered into thy hand. 32,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 300. Now imagine, the odds are against him, hopelessly, completely against Gideon. He said, I am with thee. Really, he didn't need the 300. But he allows him to have 300. And in verses 10 and on a little, in chapter 7, and verse 10, I think. Am I looking now? Yes. But if thou fear to go down, go thou, Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, he's overhearing them, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian, and all the host. When they heard this, they were afraid. They were afraid. Now then, in verse 18, Gideon says, and when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that with me, blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Now notice, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. It's not Gideon with God following behind. It's the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Lesson there to begin with. If we put God first in our lives, if we put God first in our church, if we do that, do you know, I often think when I read my daily readings, if only we obeyed what Scripture tells us to do, we would be different, you know. We would be different. That in itself, obedience to the Word of God and submission to the Word of God in itself is a very wonderful thing. You know, do we trust like that? A good example of this, we were talking in the officers' meeting the other day, and I didn't actually read it, but it came to my mind, you know, joy in God. Now then, there's not much joy for them here. But listen to these verses in Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, this is an amazing thing. It's not enjoying ourselves. It's joy in God in every circumstance, in affliction, in tribulation, in all sorts of things, is joy in him. It's a hard place to get to, but if you can get there, that our peace or our joy, whatever we like to call it now, it doesn't matter, our peace and our joy is in God, we would not fear the Midianites that prevail in our day. We would not fear them, because we would know that God is with us. But we have to turn to God. If anyone asks me what's wrong today, I'd put it like this, first of all, we've lost the fear of God. There is a fear that is terror and panic, which is wrong. And the unbeliever should have that. But they are ignorant until the time comes. But the fear of God, they used to call Christians in the old days, God-fearing people. Of course they knew of the love of God. Of course they knew of the forgiveness of sins. Of course they knew all that. They knew all that. But they had a profound respect for God. And in our announcements, we used to say in the old days, the Lord willing, we'll have a prayer meeting Wednesday, the Lord willing, the Lord willing. And when you think of it, and we used to say, you know, in meeting friends, I'll see you next Monday, the Lord willing. Now we've changed just, you might say slightly, but I think significantly. I'll see you next, whatever it is, all being well. Now God is left out, yeah? All being well. It's a great difference between that and the Lord willing. You look at the letters of Paul, how he writes to people. If the Lord wills. How many times do you say that? If the Lord is willing. If the Lord wills. Is God first in my life? I ask myself that. You might say it's a bit late for you to be asking that, but still there's time. Is God first there? Is pleasing God first in my life? God first in your life? And not only individually, but as a church and as churches as well. Not just talking to our church here, but to all of them. You know. Now, this trembling fear turns into faith. That's a wonderful thing. Who did this for him? God patiently turned his fear into faith. Now, one thing we all know about is fear, don't we? I think we've all experienced that sometime or another. We can fear in circumstance, some bad news comes along or some unfortunate thing, whatever it may be, financial or otherwise, and we can be full of fear. And then we recognize that we haven't called on God, you know, and he helps the frailty of what we are and gives us faith to believe. And that is the secret. This faith overcometh the world. This faith can do anything. This faith can restore the Church of God in our day and generation. Midian today are a mighty host. They are not to be belittled. You know, I went to, I'll not name the place, one very well-known seaside resort far away from here, and which used to be one of the most popular family places. Their families don't go there any longer, but it was still very, very busy. I said, well, how is it that they are so successful and so busy? And they said, well, they brought in different kinds of entertainments, and every kind of perversity, every kind of evil was, you know, in plenty in that town. It used to be a lovely town where you went for the day there. It was a lovely trip. It was a family, and people stayed in the guest house as families. Now it's a very different kind of place. I was only there for one day. It was enough. You saw enough, even on the Lord's Day, to know this is an evil place, you know. And you might say, well, those are the days we are living in. And all our towns and villages are becoming places like that. You know, all of them, what once we knew, you know, churches I knew with 300 or so or more in the congregations, now with less than 4 or 5 and hardly able to keep going. You have a great problem finding Sunday schools in the villages. You'd have a problem. I know, for example, the Welsh hymn singer on a Sunday afternoon, it used to be about 4:30 or so, was popular not only in Wales, but in England as well, everywhere. It was the number one or everything. It was really popular. It's still going, but they have to bus in people from miles around to make a congregation. for that hymn singing. You might say, what's happened? An enemy hath done this. Now, what shall we do? Well, we're going to say, well, we'll just endure to the end and be faithful. Yes, it's very good. We should endure to the end to be faithful. But what shall we do? I will think of methods, but they're human methods. Why not begin to look to God and to believe once again in God? You know, to believe once again in God. Now, Midian today's might, don't underestimate its might. Don't underestimate. It is very powerful. It's powerful now and frightens us older people, but it's horrendous for the generation coming up. They're arrayed against the church. We could not say the future is ours in an ordinary way, except for this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. You see, how often does God take one person, just one, when things were really, well, very flourishing, as numbers of churches in Wales are there, huge congregations before the 1904 revival, but the faith had disappeared. So just people. Then he raised one man. In fact, you know, when they decided to have a general assembly, and what they could do, they decided what was needed was for their ministers to have many degrees and to be very able, that this would attract people. And a man called Joseph Jenkins got up and he said, he prayed, Lord, and he's the first one to say this prayer, more than Evan Roberts, Lord, Lord, do not allow this, Lord, confuse my brethren in this, and raise a shepherd or a little coal miner and use him, and bend us, Lord, from our pride. And God called a man called Evan Roberts, a little student called Evan Roberts, and he was used mightily. So this revival not only spread through the whole of Wales, but 33 other countries as well. It was an amazing thing, far and wide. What God can do, when it seems so hopeless to us, he's looking at somebody, or maybe a group, maybe one, he's looking at somebody and says, I'm with thee. I'm with you, but you've forsaken us. No, it's my church. My church, not yours. My church. I am with thee. But it's hopeless. I couldn't face things as they are today. I cannot cope with it. There's abuse trying to hold an open air today, and there's open abuse. Whereas before, a few would gather and sing with you. But open abuse. And it's getting more difficult for people who give tracts out on a Saturday that they are harassing people. You know these things are happening now. We know they're happening, you know. You know, I say, it's just hopeless. I can't, Lord. You know what his answer would be? I can. I can. That's why it's the sword of the Lord. And Gideon. Gideon cannot take any credit for himself. It's a sword of the Lord and Gideon. Now, I wonder why he was put there. Is he a shining example of faith? God would say yes. Behold, thou man of valor. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he's doing. This poor chap, you know, lived in a hopeless situation when the people of Israel lived in dens and caves and grew little crops in hiding in order to survive. I mean, and that's for 7 years. They'd broken their hearts. The God of deliverance had forsaken them, or so they felt. And when he came to Gideon, in a way, you can understand, is it God? Is it really God speaking to me? Give me a sign. Forgive me. Give me another sign. You know, just for me to know. And then he gets a big army of 32,000. Now, here's the big lesson, and this is where the faith comes in. He's gone from fear to faith. It's a big leap from fear to faith. You've got 32,000, I notice. Ask them how many are afraid. 22,000 walk away. I mean, what an awful sight to see 22,000 walking away and going home. 10,000 left. and said, "Lord, I am. We've got too many, you know. We've got too many." You know, put it like this: you, it's better to have 10 men who are called in the ministry than 100 who think they should go, who are not called. They'll do more damage. It's better for that to be clear. That's why we say, if a man is called, you know, touch not the Lord's anointed, because that person is called. Now then, he said, "I don't need many." And you know this testing of drinking the water and how they did it. 300, that was really nothing, absolutely nothing. They were like grasshoppers in the valley. The camels were without number. You know, it's massive. There was a, the valley was a bit black with soldiers and camels and what have you. And he said, "Now then, blow the trumpets, each one of you. And I will give them to you. I'll give you the victory." Now, it can happen suddenly. Look at Pentecost, and suddenly. How many revivals? And suddenly. The whole scene is changed. I'll finish with an illustration that I've given it, but it doesn't matter. Going from Llandy with Brevi to Morin's parents were coming. And then, you know, people didn't travel out. I had a little car, which I didn't go far with these things. And I was going to Llandeilo. They were coming by bus to Llandeilo. And on the way, it was terrible. There'd just been not much of fall or snow, but it had frozen hard. And milk lorries were all over the place, this way, that way, the other way. But I had a lost in Mini, and they're very good at gripping, you know. And I could go into the side and the where the grass is and round them and so on. But it took me about, instead of taking about an hour or maybe an hour and a half to Llandeilo, it took me well over 3 hours. They were not very pleased, you know. And I said, "Don't worry, we'll go for a cup of tea. I know a lovely cafe." And so I did. And we went there. It was closed. So really, I wasn't popular at all. I described the terrible, terrible journey I'd had. "And didn't you get a plate?" "No, I did not get a plate. I've had a most dreadful journey." When we went back, the roads were clear. There were no lorries here, there and everywhere. The sun had come out. It's all melted. Now, I don't think to her dying day she really believed, you know, but there we are. It doesn't matter. I think she forgave me. But it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, and suddenly, what seemed impossible became possible. What seemed impossible became possible. What happened? A change of weather. A change of spiritual atmosphere. It can happen to us. It can happen to you. It can happen in our day and generation. I'm not asking you to be an optimist in human things, but always be optimistic about God. Never belittle what he can do. Don't underestimate the enemy at all, but never underestimate. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, I think we could say a lot more about Gideon, but maybe that's enough.